Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Punish Podcast, the official podcast of punishbacklog.com. I'm David Silbert, an editor here at the site. In this episode, we're bringing you our latest entry in our fantasy gaming series, in which we, similar to fantasy sports, draft video games for the year onto teams so that we can then compare their Metacritic scores and see who comes out on top. The first half of today's episode will cover the results of our 2025 campaign, while the second half will kick off 2026 with our annual draft, and there are already some shakeups in store. We're joined by everyone in the league today. Let's go around the horn and share our name, pronouns, and a few sentences about one of your favorite games you played in 2025, new or old. No pressure.
Hey, I'm Sam. Pronouns he, him. I'm an editor at Punish Backlog. And I'll just shout out my game of the year, Donkey Kong Bonanza. People know I'm a big Donkey Kong guy, but most importantly, I appreciate a 3D platformer that allows you to proceed at your own pace and explore at your own leisure. And so I think it did a fantastic job of that, and I was a big fan of that game.
And I am Allison, she, her. One of my favorite games that I played in 2025 was an indie game called Dance of Cards, where you're stuck on a cruise ship and you have to play poker games to survive, or else they will kill you at the end of the night.
Well, that sounds delightful.
Was it regular style poker, or was it with like a Spilatro spin on it?
It had a little bit of a twist. Everybody had like their own special move that they could do, but it was pretty hard. And spoiler alert, I died at the end.
R.I.P.
Oh, great. Well, my name is Gary Wilson, pronouns he, him, also a writer here at the Punish Backlog. I'll also just shout out my game of the year from last year, Hollow Knight Silksong, which is a real video game that really did happen. I really played it, I really beat it, and it's really, really good.
Good choice. My name is Zach Gulinello, he, him pronouns, also a writer here at the Punish Backlog. My favorite game of 2025 is a little title called Giga Sword. I've talked about it a lot. I drafted it on my team, didn't quite make the cut with the Metacritic reviews, but it's a solo dev, Jack Breen, that I got to meet at PAX East last year. I've been talking about it, shouting from the rooftops. Ton of fun, Metroidvania. Really creative and interesting twist on an old classic, so I highly recommend everyone check it out.
I love that. Yeah, you've been such a good rep for Giga Sword. My name is Amanda. You've already heard me a little bit. She, her, or they, an editor writer here at the Punish Backlog. And for my game of the year of 2025, or like what I would pick, I wrote a list of kind of my favorite indies of the year. And one of them that I really loved in late 2025 was a mystery game called The Seance of Blake Manor by an Irish studio called Spooky Doorway. Just a great murder mystery, like mysticism, exploring, you're walking around the spooky old house, like looking for clues and talking to people, a lot of great puzzles. Very impressive.
Right. Also some of the most gentle jump scares in video
yes,
games.
Super gentle. I was literally, I love that you're saying that because it, like, I'm sort of known on the site for not being able to handle scary stuff at all. And I would just like scream and then nothing, like nothing bad would happen, but just like the gentlest little red ghost will pop up and I'm like, what?
Or you just like turn a corner and there's a static face of a person exactly. You need to talk to and yes. You accidentally scream.
Haunting. Yeah. 100%.
And my name is David, as I said, pronouns he, him. And one of my favorites, but also my game of the year for 2025 was a game called Pipistrello and the Cursed Yo-Yo, which is far better than the kind of convoluted title would suggest. It was developed by a studio called Pocket Trap, who you might know from a game called Dodgeball Academia, which I believe was on streaming services for a while. I played that for a bit, but their latest game is just so good. It's also a Metroidvania, but it's a Metroidvania, but mainly a Zelda-like. And I stand by the fact that I think it's the best 2D Zelda-like, like ever. Like it's the best. It could function theoretically as its own like Zelda spinoff. Maybe that's a little bit too much praise, but it really is a fantastic game. Such great design, great music by Yoko Shimomura was involved there. Just a terrific game. Lots of great games this year, in fact, or this past year. Wow. Happy New Year, everyone. Great to hear everyone's picks, and I'm glad there was so much diversity in that lineup. If you want to read more to our listeners of our coverage of the best games of 2025, check out our site at the Punish Backlog, punishbacklog.com. We'll also link everyone's best of 2025 lists in our show notes and our post on the site. So be sure to check that out. And with that said, we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back with our Fantasy Gaming 2025 results. So, 2025, huh? I've decided, so let me back that up.
I know, we're going right into this. At first when you said 2025, I was like, I need to unmute and just boo the whole year. Be like, boo, 2025.
I'll give you your chance to boo. I'm going to give you the floor, but I'm going to try to give the intro first.
Yeah, do it.
It's not like 2026 is starting off awesome. So
yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
We're off to a shit show. Maybe we'll start that off. Okay, so 2025 recap. It is a new year. Hardly feels that way with what's going on in the world, but we're trucking along. And if you have been following fantasy gaming, at least, a little bit of respite in all the darkness, you'll know things were getting pretty good up until the summer. By that point, it was really any team's game. We had a lot. It was a great year for games in general, and every team had some bangers and was kind of vying for those top coveted, you know, 1, 2, 3 spots. Then came the fall, and you might have noticed that some of our coverage kind of became a little more spotty. I think our last coverage, someone correct me, was our summer waiver wire, which I think we held in July, maybe August. So since then, we've had the fall. A lot of big games came out, but a couple of truly crucial Hail Mary games got release dates, which led to one confident victory for a team that we'll reveal shortly. So I want to kind of break it up, switch it up this year and go in reverse order, starting with the winner and working backwards. I think that'll give us a better idea of kind of just the mechanisms behind this year, this past year. We can reflect, we can hash it out, talk about the drama, and then transition from there, if that's cool with everyone. One other thing I want to mention is ahead of the recording of this episode, I asked every team, given that it's a fantasy, we have a dynasty league is kind of what we launched last year for those unfamiliar. And with the dynasty league, the idea is that from year to year, every team will have the option to retain up to 2 games of their choice from their team. Most likely that would be the games on your bench. If you had intended on winning the past year, you have 7 games and 2 of them are your bench. 5 are all in play. And if any of them whiff, you're kind of screwed. So basically of the games on your bench, do you want to retain 1, both, or none of those games? So I'll walk through all of that and then we'll kick it back to each of the team owners to do a little bit of reflections. And so we can hear the inner machinations and get prepped for 2026. So we'll start off. Not a lot of fanfare. Sir, one team, I'm just going to get out of the way. Team David, my name was Why Are We Here? Just to Suffer. Turns out we are suffering in a lot of ways, but in fantasy, at least for me, I'm not suffering. I'm eating good. Yep. Just get it out. Let's go. Amanda's editing. Scream as much as you want. Go ahead.
It's just gonna have to be me editing down my own screams.
I love it. Just don't.
It was really the fact that it all fell apart for the rest of us in like a 2-week span.
Yeah.
Like, because we got I know you'll say the names of the game.
Yeah.
So we got the Silksong release date, which was insane that it actually was happening. And then like 2.5 weeks later, we got the Hades C release date.
Yeah.
And at that point, I think all of us had just gone, well, that's going to be that.
Yep, that was it. So for me, peek behind the curtain for me was that Silksong and Hades 2, and I know, Amanda, you'll talk more about Silksong, so I'll focus on Hades 2. But, you know, these were 2 games that truly were Hail Marys for me. Like, I had, like, an inkling that, you know, I can't remember if Hades 2 was in early access.
It was last year, because I drafted it last year.
Yeah. And was it in early access starting in, like, late 2024? Was that?
Yes.
Yeah. So So it was like an educated guess that, okay, it's not going to be an early access longer than, say, a year's time, knowing Supergiant, and they, you know, they have a good kind of production schedule. So reasonable guess that it was going to release properly in 2025. I didn't know for sure, and I also didn't know quite how good. I checked the Metacritic scores literally 2 days ago, and it's a 95, which is wild when you consider it really has not been doing much
crazy,
in the game of the year race. And some outlets have given it to it, but obviously Clair Obscur is kind of swept for most places. But the combination of Hades 2 with the 95 Metacritic, Silksong, you know, it wasn't like the highest reviewed game of the year, but it was obviously, I got it at like a premium. I think I drafted at number 4 or something. 90 there. I had Death Stranding 2 previously, Deltarune, and then Ghost of Yote, which I had done the math, and I'm like, okay, Ghost of Yote would need to like score like sub 70 to really keep anyone else in, and it did very respectable, like 86. So my average ended up being 89.2, which is really solid when you consider I think if we, back in the day, Sam, Amanda, when it was just us playing and we would super score, I believe, maybe the top 4 games, we would maybe average 89, like on a good year. So like to average 5 games without, you know, having to score all of them, that's pretty nuts. So I don't expect to repeat this in 2026. The playing field will hopefully be a little more level. And then for me, on my bench, I had The Outer Worlds 2, which were released to 83, so I even had some backup had I not had Yote. And then I had, feeling that I had a little bit of cushion, I draft in the waiver wire, I grabbed Resident Evil Requiem, and I dropped Lost Soul aside for that, which was dodging a major bullet. So I've retained Requiem into 2026, pretty self-explanatory, and that's kind of my story.
Congratulations, well earned.
There's nothing, it's just the glory, because the everyone else, for the listeners, you know, the winner would get to say like $70 for a game, and since I'm the one who always, you know, putting together the fantasy prize money, I'm like, well, I don't need to pay 70, so in a way,
how do you take that money off your hands?
maybe what we could do for the next year is we'll put $10 into a bucket, like we'll all do it, you know what I mean, so that way you at least get, you know, your prize money.
We could do that. We could treat it like a fantasy league, but
It's, not this it's year, fun though. I'm not giving you any money for this
team. No post buy-ins, but pre-buy-in, sure.
I'm with you. All right. Cool. But I'm far more interested in getting to hear from everyone else here. So in second place, and I'll add a little more dramatics here. In second place, with an average score of 86.6, still a really great score, we have Team Amanda. Oops, I did it again. So I'm trying to think about what was new here. So since the waiver wire, Amanda, and correct me, let me know if you want to add any other color here, but I remember you dropped Mafia the Old Country, which I can't remember what it scored, but somewhere in the 70s, and you grabbed Final Fantasy Tactics, the Evil East Chronicles, which, no, there was a little bit of drama there, but
It was a good pick, though.
It was a very good pick, 88 on Metacritic. I got a copy for Christmas. Can't wait to play it. And so that brought your average up, I'm sure, quite a bit, but obviously just not quite enough. And then on your bench, you had The Witcher 4 and Hyper Light Breaker. And privately, you said, I asked, which ones would you like to retain? Would you like to retain Hyper Light Breaker? And you're like, are you shitting me?
That's nice. That's the worst story that I said.
It wasn't a trap. I just wanted to make sure I got the word. And you dropped Witcher 4, which I guess. So I want to hand it back over to you. You had a really strong lineup, you know, top to bottom, Blueprints, Split Fiction, The Altars, Evil East Chronicles, and even your lowest game, Elden Ring Night Rain, 77. Not a bad game. Kay loves it. He wrote a whole lot bet on it. So really nothing to hang your head on, but I want to get your take. What are your reflections, Amanda?
Yeah, my reflections. Thank you. I hope I will learn something from this. So the first thing that I'll say is that for anyone who I would be hard pressed to imagine that anyone who's listening to this hasn't been following our saga of it. But I guess the only fantasy related coverage from the fall is that. So for context, the last 2 years I had drafted Hollow Knight Silksong, and last year I had also drafted Hades 2, and I was like sick of waiting for them both to come out, and I wrote an op-ed about it on the site, which you can read. You just look up Hollow Knight Silksong and then look for the really angry title by me, and but there's a point where I'm just acknowledging that it's ultimately about fantasy gaming, and I'm bitter about it. I used my first pick of the draft on Elden Ring Night Rain, and that was born out of like not doing any research at all and not realizing that it wasn't like a true separate sequel, like at all. And so my team name is Oops, I Did It Again, partially because I keep doing this where I keep like not really researching or like fully preparing. And my biggest reflection, I think what I've seen over the last few years is that like, I feel like I have excellent taste, which is nice. Like I'm often picking out some top scoring games like Baldur's Gate 3, Split Fiction, and Blueprints games that like weren't really getting coverage before. And it makes me feel good about myself that I have this cool taste to pick out these games. But also I have really horrible decision making, particularly when I'm panicking. And I'm frequently dropping games to ultimately make way for like less high scoring ones. And it's just, you know, I think it's deeply sobering to learn this about myself. So yeah. I've accepted it. I'm fine. Totally okay.
I mean, I think fine again. To put a positive note on it, if your superpower is finding, you know, really great gems, then I would just encourage you to leverage that. If I had to bet on one person to just pick an out of nowhere game that's going to score super well, it'd be you, Amanda. So
thank you. Yeah. Let's see if I can do it.
Sending you my energy, Dragon Ball style. Okay. So in third place, not too far behind with an average of 85.6. So 1 point behind Team Amanda is Team Gary, Gary's Glorious Games. And from since the summer waiver wire, the main move that Gary made was dropping Fable, which we knew was not coming out that year, and Gary picked up Luminous Arise, which did very well. 87 Metacritic. I've still been meaning to pick it up. I'm sure you'll talk a little more about why you picked that game. And so all told, really solid lineup, you know, top to bottom. Claire Obscure, of course, you know, the Game Award Game of the Year winner with a 92. Monster Hunter Wilds, Luminous Arise. And then you had rounding out the lineup, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 3 and 4 with an 82, and Like a Dragon, Pirate Yakuza in Hawaii with a 79. And then on the bench, you had Replaced, which you've made the decision to retain, and Marvel 1945 Rise of Hydra. I think I'm stepping on your toes a bit, Gary. So let me kick it over to you. And
no. We
can talk about your decision-making with those games.
Yeah, so first off, I am the saltiest person in the world because I lost to Amanda by a point for second place, a point that was only created due to the Final Fantasy Ivalice Chronicles, a thing that I was very strongly against allowing to be drafted. So I am absolutely the king of salts.
But I think you're going to have a better draft pick than me. Like, ultimately, I got that in retrospect, I shouldn't have even been allowed to draft it. But
I don't have a better draft pick from you because I'm keeping one of my games, and you're not.
Well, that's your fault, man. I picked a game, The Witcher 4, that's not going to be out for 3 years. that's on me.
Which was a choice when you did it in 2025. But yes. Exactly.
Look, no, not my fault that you picked a game that's going to be interesting and good.
Yes. You know,
I maintain that we should support women, and that was fine.
Thank you. Yes.
That is true. That is fair. No, I'm actually, for the most part, pretty okay with how my fantasy year went. You know, again, I feel like my choices, for the most part, were pretty consistent. The reason I picked things was pretty consistent. You know, Monster Hunter Wilds was my first pick. It landed about where I expected it. Claire Obscure was my big risk pick. We really didn't know what that was going to be when we picked it up for fantasy. And luckily it ended up being, you know, the world beater it was. I was disappointed by, you know, Like a Dragon coming in where it was. But even then, a 79 is really not all that bad. So in the long run of things, I'm really not all that angry with how things went. I think, you know, moving into next year or this year, this coming draft, it's definitely given me some perspective of like, okay, maybe searching for consistency is a little bit better than taking big swings. But at the same time, you know, it's hard to know, especially with 2026. And I know we'll talk about this during the actual draft. 2026's release schedule and release timeline looks very strange right now with kind of what's out there and what's coming. It's going to be an interesting year moving forward. The reason I'm keeping Replaced is because I think Replaced could be the indie game of the year. I think it could be the thing that, you know, everybody sort of jumps on as like, this is the indie du jour of this year. Whereas dropping Rise of Hydra, Marvel 1943, I think there's a strong possibility that might come back around to me sometime during this draft. We really don't know. But Replaced, I think, is something that could get swept out from under me very early on.
I mean, I'd be impressed if Rise of Hydra ever comes out, to be honest, but
we'll see. It's got a real date, or not a real date. Really? It's got a 2026, and it was a 2026 set in October.
No, that's a real date. It's 1943.
Fair enough.
But yeah, no, I do think, especially when I reminded myself, Gary, that Replace comes out in March, that, you know, for those listening, getting those early games drafted is definitely a benefit because you have the opportunity to drop them when we do a waiver wire mid-year. So I definitely see the reasoning behind it. Part of me is like, you could have just come in with the, you know, who would have picked? Would one of us? You're the one who's closest to Replace. Would any of us bet on it? Maybe Zach, to spite you.
But no, the answer is you. You would have picked it.
Would I?
Look at that smile. Yeah, I don't trust anything that I have ever treasured to David.
You think I'd take it Replaced?
I think you would take Replaced in the first three picks of yours. I mean,
Oh, maybe the first three picks of mine. Sure.
Yeah, okay. Not three picks total.
All right, I hear you. I see the vision.
Anyway.
Yeah. Cool. In fourth place with an average of 82, bit of a drop. We've got Team Sam. This team is an Xbox. There are a little bit of Xbox representation. Thankfully, you kind of diversified the portfolio, but I'm not sure how well that worked out, but we'll kick it back over to you to gauge. The two big developments since the summer, Sam, for you were two 4 games. So Metroid Prime 4 Beyond and Ninja Gaiden 4. And did well. Metroid Prime 4 Beyond 78, Ninja Gaiden 4 82. Just wasn't quite enough. So as a recap, your highest scoring game was Mario Kart World with an 86. Then you had Doom the Dark Ages with an 83. Ninja Gaiden 4 with the 82. Assassin's Creed Shadows 81. And Metroid Prime 4 Beyond 78. And then on the bench, you had Mina the Hollower, which had almost as a benefit to you, got, you know, delayed indefinitely into 2026. So you had the opportunity to retain it. You chose to drop it and reclaim one of your draft picks. And then Wolverine, Marvel's Wolverine, which I think is slated for, you know, late 2026, you've retained. Makes sense in my book, but Sam, what are your reflections, thoughts on your team in 2025 and heading into 2026?
I think it makes perfect sense that I am the only person here who lives in and is from New York, because the first year that we did this, I won Fantasy League and I made some great draft picks. I got Resident Evil 4 Remake. I had Street Fighter 6. I got a lot of games they got in the 90s pretty early on. And it's worth noting that the first football NFL team that won the Super Bowl was the New York Jets. And since then have been the New York Jets. And so that's what's happening to me now, is I started off strong and every year since then has not gone well for me. So here's my biggest takeaway from this year. I decided to play it really safe with almost every pick I made, with a couple of exceptions. Even before the waiver wire, one of the first games I picked was Civilization, was it 7? And that was like immediately viewed as like the worst Civilization game. Of course, when I drafted, it's the worst Civilization game. I got Assassin's Creed Shadows, Doom the Dark Ages. Like, those games were what people expected them to be, like pretty solid, but unremarkable entries in their series. Mario Kart World is 86. That's pretty good. Metroid Prime 4 was not that. That's me drafting Sam Darnold as the Jets. So maybe in 5 or 6 years, Metroid Prime 4 Beyond will be a good game. I don't know. Maybe it's in the right situation, not in New York. It'll be fine. But I dropped Mina the Hollower because I still think it's going to be good. I just think that they keep delaying it and there's like that Bloomberg report that if this game isn't a hit, like Yacht Club Games might go under. So that's a lot of pressure. That's I don't think the game is going to be quite that level of a hit. So Wolverine, I trust Insomniac will get this out somehow. But yeah, I took a very cautious approach last year and it didn't work at all. So We'll see what happens now. We'll see what approach I take momentarily.
I think keeping Wolverine is smart.
Yeah, that game looks awesome. And I'm excited to see you swing for the fences, hopefully. Sam, I can't wait to see what you draft. Moving on to fifth place, and you'll notice a steep drop off, and I'll explain why momentarily. But with an average of 66.2, we have Team Zach, aka Don't F Me Gary. Zach, before I recap,
it wasn't my fault, Zach. You did Gary this to yourself.
I don't think Gary F'd you on this one, Zach. So, Zach had drafted Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater at the high 85 for you. Great pick. Ender Magnolia Bloom in the Mist, 84. Two Point Museum, 84 as well. So well-rounded kind of mid-80s. And then the two big developments heading into the fall was Pokemon Legends ZA, which you had previously drafted, gotten a 78, respectable, you know, not earth-shattering. But the big thing that hurt you coming into the fall was Gigasword, which I know you were so high on. You reviewed it beautifully, had a beautiful review for the site, gave it really high marks. I believe you gave it a 9, right, Zach?
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yes.
And so unfortunately, though, by the rules, and I felt bad doing this, but the rules do stipulate for fantasy that if the game does not garner enough reviews on Metacritic for a score, it counts as a 0. So only 3 critics had chimed in. 2 very glowing. 1 was kind of a critical review. But we just didn't get that sample size, just given how, you know, it's a one-man band, Massachusetts native, Jack Brain. Wish you had more visibility. You're doing the Lord's work by giving some coverage, but just not enough to get on the board here. So 66.2, but on the bright side, Zach, you've got pretty much the consensus number one game heading into 2026. Not pretty much, the consensus in GTA 6 on your bench, which you've chosen to retain. And you didn't have another bench spot because that was used up by Mind's Eye, which was a 37, which you just kind of got that out of the way. So walk me through your thought process, Zach. How are you reflecting on how your team performed in 2025 and what notes you're taking going into the next year?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's not a pretty thing to look at here. The scores, they don't inspire a lot of confidence. But, you know, in sports and in fantasy gaming, you don't want to be in the middle. That's the worst place to be. You know, you want to be first or last. You want to get that rebuilding. You know, I've still got GTA 6 and I'm rebuilding. You know, I got those picks. I'm ready to go. Have I learned anything? Probably not. I'm probably going to make the same mistakes again. Probably going to pick some duds, but I think, you know, going to swing for the fences. Going to, you know, we've got the ability to adapt, right? In the middle of the year, we got some waivers. We can do some drops. So I'm going to try to lean into that. I'm going to try to go for, you know, some bigger games that may be a little bit more speculation, and then kind of develop my strategy towards the end of the year. I mean, hey, this is like, we just found out we were doing this like 2 days ago. It's January 4th. I don't know what's coming out. I got no idea what's going on. I got 2 kids. We're doing potty training with my 2-year-old. I'm wiping poop off the floor. You think I got time for this? Absolutely not. If I win, that just means it's all the more sweet that I earned it. So we're doing our best out here.
As an aside for listeners and Sam and Amanda and Allison, Gary, Zach, and I are in a Dynasty Football League, and that's my mentality in your league, bro. It's like Gary and I are bottom of the barrel there. It's just
searching the bottom.
Shit at the wall. Let's see what happens, you know? So I respect it.
Hey, we're literally throwing shit at the wall in this house, so be careful.
All right.
GTA 6, that's going to be my golden ticket.
So I can't wait to see what you do. Behind that. You're going to do great things in 2026, Zach. And finally, rounding us out, last but certainly not least, in sixth place, but first in our hearts, we have Team Allison, Rip Switch 1, average of 63.8, not that low, 63.8. One of the best games of the year is on your team in Donkey Kong Bonanza. I remember you picked that up during one of our waiver wires. Great pick. Discounty, an indie game that I know you were big on, 79. Blade Chimera, kind of under the radar, but appreciated Metroidvania game, got a 77. And then Lost Records, Bloom and Rage, which is most notable for me being last on my list of 31 games I played. I didn't have the heart to score it, but that was a two-parter that averaged to about you know, 72, let's call it. And then the reason for the really low average was that Moonlighter 2, The Endless Vault, which I know is a hotly anticipated indie. I know, Zach, you played the first one. That one just hasn't come out yet. So, again, is scored as a zero, unfortunately, which dragged down the average, which, you know, heading into the new year would have been a very fortuitous kind of draft placement. But, of course, well, we'll have that to share a little bit later. But we got some news on that front. But, Allison, first, I want to get your thoughts on the team. How do you feel like the process went? Just reflections, thoughts on the process?
Yeah, it didn't go well. And I want to say again, I'm sorry, Sam, for taking Donkey Kong Bonanza from you.
I still haven't forgiven you.
I know. I should have given it to you and taken Mario Kart World.
I would have lost anyway, so I'm glad that you took that opportunity for me to lose by slightly less. Let me lose more.
You know, like Zach said, I didn't know what was going on, what was coming out last year. And I think I relied a little too much on indie games. I have a lot of faith in them, but they let me down this year. So RIP Switch 1.
RIP Switch 1, indeed. I do want to just, I love the fact that you stuck to your guns there, Allison, and went indie. Even when, you know, most of us, we gravitate toward the big indies, but I appreciate the fact, Allison, that you are always a, you know, steadfast kind of advocate for the smaller games, which is kind of the site's mantra, right? Punish Backlog. So always appreciated that insight and that perspective in 2025. But that kind of segues nicely into a bittersweet announcement. At this time, we're saying goodbye for now to Allison, who's winding down her time writing for the site. Allison's focused on some exciting other projects of her own, but she's still going to be an active part of our community and on our Discord server. In terms of fantasy, Allison's team will be phased out with longtime Punish Backlog writer Kay Asobi taking the reins with his own team for 2026. Allison, it's been an absolute pleasure having you aboard the Punish Backlog for what's felt like forever. Wishing you all the best with your personal pursuits. And you have a seat at the site, on the podcast. It's always available for you whenever you want to step back, celebrity shot, whatever. More than would love to have you back on, but so thrilled that you're doing what energizes you moving forward in terms of writing and all that good stuff. Yeah, but I know Amanda had some more thoughts too, so I don't want to take.
I do. I have a little short essay.
Go ahead, Amanda.
Yeah, which then Allison. Yeah, you can just hide. You can turn your camera off. Well, I see. I know where Allison is blushing so hard, but we've got more nice things to say about you. Allison, it's been a joy having you write for the site. You were great at covering Nintendo Switch games, especially those you could play with your nephew, indie delights, and cozy games, not least of which includes one of your all-time favorites, Stardew Valley. You really upped our Stardew coverage, which I loved. Even though your fantasy team didn't go the way you wanted, I love that you were committed to choosing almost entirely indie games, including Mouse PI for Hire, that, as we might recall, I had like an emotional meltdown over just imagining like a little mouse with a hat, not realizing that it was a mouse with a gun, but that's going to be very exciting as well. But, you know, playing and making video games as well as video game journalism is not always a super open or welcoming space to women, femmes, trans, and non-binary voices. And I have just personally felt really welcomed by that community here at the Punish Backlog. And it's been so awesome to have you as another great femme here at the site the last few years. I'm so grateful for all the times that you've contributed to women-centered pieces, such as the best female video game characters as picked by female gamers and the best games for girlies who want to get into gaming. So thank you for that. Thank you for being an awesome advocate for the girlies who want a game. Thank you for being a part of many podcast episodes here, in addition to fantasy gaming, such as episode 22, Nostalgia for Games That Aren't Very Good, which you suggested. That one was great, and you took us through your Nintendo like Game Boy Advance and DS cartridges, which was so great. And in episode 15, Romance and Video Games, and other great episodes. You wrote dozens of pieces and many great reviews, such as your 9.8 out of 10 review for Turnip Boy Robs a Bank, which remains one of the top 5 scores our site has ever given out. Thank you for being a part of the Punish Backlog family, and wishing you all the best with what's next. And yeah, feel free to share anything, no pressure, but just wanted you to know that we appreciated you and really enjoyed having you here.
Thank you. I really appreciate being part of this community. You know, like a couple years ago, almost 3 years ago now, I found the site and I'm like, this is a nice looking place with some nice looking people. I think I'm going to try to submit because I used to write for a site about Apple News. So I did a bit of mobile gaming here and there. And so it's just been so awesome to be a part of that, especially during certain times in my life where like I really just needed some more writing experience and something to put on my portfolio and resume. And it's just been so awesome to get to know all of you all. And you're just so fun and such cool people and so intelligent. And it's like, wow, this is really great. So I really appreciate it. And I'm thankful you'll still let me be around.
Oh, for sure. For sure. If we ever get an in-person reunion going, you're going to be there. So yeah. But yay.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to more humorous posts on Discord. Allison, you're always
Allison
that.
Is like
the
a
banter is fantastic.
Roaster. Yeah.
Where was Balatro at at the 2048 Game Awards ceremony? I'll be looking for it. Yeah. Yeah, where's Balatro too? Allison, it's not goodbye. It's let's see you on the Discord and looking forward to just hearing what's next.
Thank you.
Yeah. But with that, we're going to take a short break, keep the podcast moving. We're going to bid adieu to Allison and her team, give it the Valhalla's funeral that it deserves, and welcome Kay for our 2026 Fantasy Gaming Draft. We'll be right back. And welcome back. Now we're getting into the real fun stuff, which is looking ahead to the future. For 2026, we've got, as always, our annual fantasy draft. And for those who are unfamiliar, I'll give the really, really high level recap. Basically, we draft teams, as we've talked about, and vie for the team with the highest Metacritic score averaged out. That team wins. And since it's Dynasty format, as we hinted in the previous section, certain games have been retained heading into 2026. So those games are as follows. Grand Theft Auto 6, duh. Marvel's Wolverine, Replaced, and Resident Evil Requiem. Those are the four games that are off the table for the purposes of the upcoming draft. the way that this draft works is similar to fantasy football, where in keeping a game, the team that chose to retain a game is basically forfeiting, you know, their pick for that round. Like they're using that pick in that round to draft the game that they're retaining is a way to look at it. So we are doing inverse draft order for the 2026 draft. And as mentioned before, we are joined by our own Kay Asobi. Welcome, Kay. Kay is not inheriting Allison's team, but we're spinning up a new team in her stead. It just works out that Allison would have had the top draft pick here anyway. So, Kay, you'll be inheriting that. So the draft order will be Kay, Zach, Sam, Gary, Amanda, then me, and then it's snake order. So then it'll be me, Amanda, so on and so forth. So we'll do that until we all have seven games. So what would be great for this draft is if we just go down the draft order, you announce what game you are drafting, and you give us 15 to 20 second elevator pitch why you're excited about the game so we can keep things moving. If you have retained a game, one of the four games I just mentioned, still name the game and just explain why you're retaining it, why you're excited to have it. Any questions from the panel? All righty. So first off, I'm super excited. It's a pleasure to extend the very first pick of the 2026 Fantasy Gaming Draft to Kay. Woo. You are on the clock, my friend.
Hello, hello. I'm joining the draft. I'll keep it quick since this is the first overall pick. I am going to draft Forza Horizon 6 for 10 or Microsoft Studios. You know, it's possible that Microsoft continues to like commit war crimes and then we all just blacklist this game forever and I wasted this pick, but hopefully you know, the world situation improves and also my fantasy outlook improves. So here's to that.
Starting off hot.
So hot. So hot in every way. Oh my God.
I love it. Yeah. Did not expect that.
Not at all.
Sam did a little take. I feel like Sam's like, damn, that was my pick.
Well, yeah, Sam is Forza boy.
Yeah, Sam's
Yeah, I am Forza boy. That's what they call me.
That's what they call you.
Nice rap name.
On the streets, they call me Forza boy.
Forza the boy. Donkey Kong Forza boy.
I was just like, that was gonna be like my dark horse, but okay,
it's all everything
swooped
new.
In, buddy. Now it's all bets
He's
are off.
It's spicy already.
Sweet. Well, that's easy. Second pick in the draft, Zach. I know your draft order got you to second, but you're technically retaining a pick, but not a bad pick to retain. What you got?
Yeah, I had my eye on Forza as well, and it's funny when I do these, you know, the second year, I feel like I've got something in the tank, and then everyone's like, oh, weird pick, that was crazy, and I'm like, oh, shit, I gotta recalibrate here, figure out what my strategy is. But anyways, that's off the board, so obviously, you know, second pick, I gotta retain the game I'm looking forward to most this year, which is Backyard Baseball. Oh, wait, no, hold on. Backyard Baseball is not coming out anytime soon, who knows. GTA 6 is definitely coming out though in 2020.
It's not coming out this year. I'm so glad I get to say that 2 years in a row.
We don't need to start this already. Everyone's gonna be picking stuff. We don't need to be, oh, that's never coming out. We're gonna get through that. All right, you save that to the end here. You can, it's like when you applaud at the end of like a graduation ceremony, do it all at the end. You can just say that none of those games are coming out anyways. Or off topic, GTA 6, it's coming out. It's gonna be a hundred. Is that even possible? Do they have those? I don't even know, but that's what it's gonna be. So just take it away, Sam.
I love it. Sam?
Yeah. Excuse me, because I need to do a voice for this. I'm keeping Wolverine, bub. So yeah, Marvel's Wolverine. That was great. Gary's reacting to how good that was. that was really good. So I'm keeping Insomniac's Wolverine game. It's another one of those risks of like, does it come out this year? But generally, Insomniac does not make bad games, and I think this one's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. So that's it.
For my pick, pick number four, I am keeping Replaced from Sad Cat Studios. Last year, I took it thinking it was Vaporware, and as it turns out, it was Vaporware last year. But this year, it has a release date and continues to look awesome, and I think it might be kind of the indie game that sets the world on fire this year. So maintaining that.
Amanda, what you got?
Yeah.
This one's tough because you kept both picks. You didn't retain anything.
I did not retain Witcher 4 because it's projected to not even come out till late 2027. So my strategy this year, I'm thinking of two things. One, games I'm actually interested in playing, is last year I tried to be really clever and pick games that I knew very little about that I thought had like flashy name brand recognition, like Elden Ring, Nightreign. And so that I'm going to try to only pick games I'm even remotely interested in playing. And two, to try and combat myself, I've created a tier like list similar to Gary's structure to hopefully force myself to not make stupid decisions. But I'm genuinely so shocked by Kay's pick that like it's like thrown off my whole draft order. But that's okay. I'm going to stick with what was at tier one that I didn't think would even be available, which is I'm going to pick 007 First Light by IO Games. They make the Hitman games, and I think it'll be good, or at least maybe even very good, hopefully.
Nice. Yeah, that was what I also expected Kay to take, but I can't lie. I think the Forza Horizon pick is also a terrific pick, just given how consistent that series is. I have, since we do Snake Order, I have back-to-back picks. Obviously, the first one of mine is dedicated to Resident Evil Requiem, which I think I still feel very good about that game. Capcom doesn't miss. They just keep hitting, so... figured play it kind of safe, but also play it kind of aggressive with that pick. And then as for my second, it's a tough one. I didn't think I would get this far.
Pull it back. I'm gonna do
maybe a controversial one. I'm gonna draft Slay the Spire 2.
Woo! What?
So early access for this is planned for March 2026. I don't know if it'll release in full this year, but it's a Dynasty League. And I think whenever this game comes out, it's going to absolutely hit. So I'm willing to wait as long as it takes to cash in this count. Is that a saying? I don't think it is. Who's next in the draft?
It's me, but you know what? Back to it's actually a great... really homage because Allison had picked Slay the Spire 2 early access last year. So nice.
Allison, this is for you.
It's for you, Allison.
Respect women. Let's go.
I love that. I am also surprised that I got some picks here. I'm going to pick Saros, which I don't know a ton about, but it's the team that made Returnal. I love a good time loop game. And it had a very flashy trailer in the Game Awards. And notably, one thing that I think did work decently well for my strategy last year is that I did try to skew for games that at least had sort of specific dates, or especially within the first half of 2026. So both 007 and Saros are supposed to come out May, April, respectively. So let's see if that bites me in the butt.
So far on my fun tier list over here, I have five games in my tier zero, which is I have to leave with at least one of these.
I like that.
Two of them have been picked so far, so I'm going to go for a third one of these, which is I'm picking Control Resonant. I don't think that's particularly surprising to anybody, but the follow-up to Control coming out this year, just announced at the Game Awards a few weeks ago. I will be putting Control Resonant on my team and feeling great about it up until it scores somehow like a 60.
That's what I was seriously considering that as well. So great pick. Glad you did it.
How could I not?
I want to thank all of you for taking the games I would have picked.
You're welcome.
So I'm taking another risk, I guess, because I think this game could be good, but you never know. I'm going with Pragmata. I think, as David said, Capcom's been on a good streak for the last few years. Like, yeah, every now and then there's Exo Primal, which was bad. But for the most part, they've released games, not just that are good, but do well on Metacritic. So I'm excited about Pragmata. I want to play the demo. I know it's on Steam, but I won't wait till it's on PlayStation. I'm really curious how this game is going to run on Switch 2. That's one of those things where like Capcom's releasing all their games on Switch 2. So I think that's going to be I have high hopes for that one. I'll say
we are now down to one tier zero game left. I'm so glad I got Control when I did.
Hey, I was going to pick that. of course, swoop in right at the end. I know nothing about it, but Sam, last year you swooped in and grabbed Civ 7 right before I was going to. So I hope we get a repeat of that. And it was just a blessing in disguise. So let's see, I think early in the draft, we got to go kind of chalky with our big board. You know, anytime you do a fantasy draft on a website, everyone's going off the big board. So I want to keep it simple. We're going to go Neo 3. It comes out in February, and that's also big because we get a little bit of a taste of, those scores early. So I'll know what to do. I can pivot later, and I've got another pick coming right after K. So I feel good about just taking that, keeping it chalky, and should be good. I'm a little concerned, the first couple games didn't get like amazing scores, no 90s or anything, but looks good. It's got some hype around it, and I feel like it's a solid, at least double down the line, maybe not a home run. So we'll play it safe, and if I need to pivot, we'll do that later.
I think I'm up. Zach taking Neo 3, I was considering it, but this is like an emotional hedge because I really want to play Neo 3, so if it's bad and it's on my team, it's kind of like a double whammy, where if it's really good and I haven't, it's like I'm happy I get to play it, so. But I'm going to be taking Mugenics, which is developed by Edmund McMullen and Tyler Glale of Binding of Isaac fame. It's been in a protracted development cycle. It's been McMillan has been on and off, but he's been like posting a lot about it recently. So I feel like it's probably in pretty good shape, and it is in, on early access and all that.
And to interrupt briefly, for those who don't know, Eugenics, which I only found out about in advance of this draft, is a game where you're like training cats and like breeding them to like take over an island or something. It looks awesome.
I first played Mugenics at a PAX in 2014.
Oh my God.
That is how long this game has been in development.
Yes. It's been in for a long time. Like, it was playable and then like not playable for a while, and then now it's and then just because I have back-to-back picks, I'll keep things rolling. I will take Legend of Heroes Trails Beyond the Horizon. I have no comment on that, by the way.
Gary's just shaking his head. I think that was probably his last tier zero game gone.
No. But I wanted it, but whatever.
Yeah, I think it's more of an emotional damage thing.
Maybe I'll get Second Chapter later. We'll see.
All right. I think we're back around to me. I think I'm going to go, let me just double check the old tier list. Gary's got tier zero. I got tier -1. those are the games that Gary, I don't want to let Gary have. No, I don't really care. I'm going to go with Fire Emblem, whatever
nice,
the hell. Fortune's
choice.
Weave. I don't know. I just feel like every Fire Emblem game.
I thought it was going to slip.
Have I ever played one? No. Have I ever even thought about playing one? Definitely not. Have I heard they're great and every single one gets really good scores? It sure seems like it. They seem like they just churn those out and always seem to be a hit. So, you know, whatever the hell, just Fire Emblem, colon, whatever the hell it is, I'm just going to take that and feel good about it. So, sorry, Gary. I don't know. Whatever.
No, I would have taken that next.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope a Civ 7 happens to you.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to, at least in my view, take kind of a swing here. The Duskbloods. We saw one trailer for this at the Switch 2 thing, and everyone was freaking out because they all thought it was going to be Bloodborne 2, and then was kind of confused when it wasn't. Then there's a robot that can fly or something. It's a new FromSoft game. They generally don't miss, so at least critically. So yeah, if that game comes out this year, which, I mean, FromSoft usually doesn't like announce things way ahead of time and then keep delaying them, right? Like, they usually just like, they usually have a pretty good schedule. So yeah, I think that's going to be it's going to be at least a Metacritic banger.
Okay. Now I got to think, because that was two back-to-backers for what I was going to go with.
Bad luck, Gary, man.
Yeah. I'm going to take a risk because this isn't an emotional hedge, because if this game is both on my team and it's bad, I will be heartbroken. I'm going to take the new Onimusha.
I was thinking about that one.
You know, I feel like that's going to be this year's Clair Obscur for me, of I'm taking it at pick three. It's either going to be really good or it's going to be really bad, and I really don't know the way it's going to go. But, you know, I think it has the potential to be very good. So I'm going to lock that in.
This has not gone how I expected. This is great. I'm glad that people are taking stuff that's not, don't have dates. I love it. Amanda.
Yeah, I've got two games that I also expected to be gone now that I would say are my tier two. I think both of the games I'm looking at, the developers' last results on Metacritic were both pretty good. So I think, it's probably going to be more of an emotional choice for me. I'm going to pick, going to go a little weird here. I'm going to pick Highguard, which is from Respawn Entertainment, PvP game. They previously made Titanfall games and Apex Legends, which I've been a big fan of previously. But Highguard's got sort of like a medieval PvP style, which I don't know, seems neat. There are horses. I love horses, so I'm pumped about that.
Just a quick point. It's not made by Respawn. It's made by people that used to work at Respawn.
Okay, then I don't want it anymore then. I don't want it.
It was made by people who were fired from Respawn. Does that make you feel better?
Correct.
I don't know if they're fired, but...
Okay, then I... Yeah, so I'm not keeping it then. I'm still on the clock, and Sam has now given me
information. It is written in the doc. It is... The words I've written down.
Fine.
So wait, what happened? Are you still going to draft something? Or...
Well, no, Gary's bullying me, so I guess
No. Of course you can still change if you want to.
That would be like a classic thing of thinking that it was released by them. Fine, fuck them. So, I can either keep it or not keep it. It's fine.
No, you have new information. Redraft.
Reroll.
All right, rerolling. Then I'm going to pick Yakuza Kiwami 3 and Dark Ties. I'm playing Zero now. It's fun. The games, they're a machine at this point. Hopefully this game is actually made by the people who make it.
Don't worry.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right, we'll keep it then.
Interesting. You took one of my two remakes I was going to do, but that's probably good. That gets me out of my comfort zone here. I'm going to take Dragon Quest VII Reimagined. Comes out in February. If it's not good, I just drop it. Like I just dropped my pen and paper. And I am aware that Dragon Quest VII is not really a particularly liked entry in the series.
Can I pipe in for a second?
Yeah.
So I played a little bit of the 3DS version of this game a few months ago, and I really didn't like it. But the main reason I didn't was because the intro was so long and weird, and like there's so much like more dialogue than you would normally get from these Dragon Quest games. Apparently, that's a shorter version of the original PlayStation version. And for this one, But for this one, apparently that's an even shorter intro. So maybe
they're addressing. Yeah.
Maybe they figured it out. Maybe they figured out that like this super long intro where you're constantly like going back and forth from the same place kind of sucks. So you might be making the good pick here, but yeah, it's also like, yeah, it's also like a 100-hour game anyway. Yeah.
Seven is notably long-winded.
Long. It's like a 70-hour game, right? It's a long one. Yeah. Well, I'm willing to take a risk on it.
Not just the intro. Dragon Quest VII is like, within the franchise, is an extremely, extremely long game.
As God intended.
I like this draft format where we immediately rip on everyone's picks. It reminds me of drafting in my fantasy football league.
Fleeced.
Yeah. Reach.
Yeah,
reach.
Exactly. So I'm just going to narrate a little bit for listeners because they obviously don't have our cheat sheet, but I had in our projected draft positions still on the board Phantom Blade Zero, which comes out in September, then a couple, you know, fighting game here or there, Lego Batman. I think I'm going to follow what everyone else is doing and just pick some stuff with no dates, because what's the fun in not doing that? Since you let it slip, Sam, I'm going to pick Mina of the Hollower for myself.
I find that so funny because you like are not a big fan of the Shovel Knight games.
I don't. And, you know, and I didn't even, the demo I thought was fun. It like, I don't know if it's going to be earth shattering, but if it's, again, I think odds are likely this game comes out within the first half of the year. I'd be shocked if it didn't. And extra polish is always good. And Yacht Club is a capable developer. So we will see. But that's my pick.
Yeah, if it doesn't come out this year, Yacht Club will cease to exist. So
no, it'll come out this year. Probably. It's just I want to see what that score is so I can drop it if it's not good. And I backed it, right, Sam? You backed it, though.
I actually didn't back it. My view was they should be good, man. They made all these hit games that I've all paid full price for.
Well, I am an investor, a retail investor. So
The only game I've ever backed on Kickstarter was Sea of Stars.
Wow. That I didn't know. That could be a good punish faves for the future Kickstarters that we like. It's
very good game.
What's your favorite part of Sea of Stars? All of it. So peak. Very good.
Okay. Who do we got next?
I think it's me. Yeah, I'm conflicted because there's a game that I think would be good, but it goes against my own missive of only picking games that I think I'd want to play. And so it's a horror game, and I am scared of it. Even just looking at pictures of it. So you know what? I'm not going to pick that.
You're not a fan of horses?
No. Horses. You know I love my horses. No, my horrors. My horrors. I'm so scared. No, I'm going to pick another Allison-inspired choice. I'm going to pick Mouse PI for Hire, which is scheduled for March 19th. We'll see. They've delayed it a couple times already. But that's the one where it's got all the old Mickey Mouse style art, so it could be interesting. See, it looks really violent, but we'll see. I mean, like, as violent as it can be with cartoon mice, but I don't know, seems fun. We'll give it a shot.
Wanted it. Shout out Allison. Nice. I hadn't heard of it before she had picked it last year, and I've been keeping my eye on it. I thought it was going to slip a little longer, but hey, fair enough. I think it looks good. Looks fun.
Enjoy. I'm now being laughed at by people with their microphones off because I'm also maintaining the list of our draft picks. And because I don't want to type on microphone, I preemptively typed my next pick in. I will be taking Trails in the Sky Second Chapter, the remake of Trails in the Sky SC. First chapter came out last year and reviewed incredibly well, also because that game is just good. So going to lock in that sequel and move from there.
All right, I guess I'm next. I'm going to, once again, pick a game without a firm release date. And it's also a game that, like, I think there's, it's a coin flip of whether or not I'll like it. It's either going to be, like, my kind of game or a game I'll despise. Marvel Tokon, the new Arxis Marvel fighter. I think these kinds of fighting games are a little too complicated for me, a little too sweaty. But I don't know. People who love, like, the FGC seems to love games like this, like these kinds of really...
It's fun. The betas have been fun, I'll tell you that.
So that's... I feel good about this pick.
That question mark was so audible.
I hope it was.
Success. Zach, it looks like you're next.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the board again, and you know, in any classic draft, we got some things that are slipping and sliding, and I don't know how much thought whoever, I think it was David, put into this this list in order, all these things, but Phantom Blade Zero, number 10, we got some things going a little bit further. Why not? I don't know that much about it. Again, it's January 4th. What am I supposed to be reading up on all these games? What are we doing here, David? Come on. But Phantom Blade Zero, let's go with it.
Chinese Century of Domination continues.
It's September 9th. We got a ways to go. I'm going to keep it, and I just hope for the best. It looks cool. Looks like all these other games. As someone who doesn't have a PlayStation, I feel like every game looks like this now. It's just like you're just fighting. It's dark. You got a big sword. That's all I know about this game. So we're just going to go with it. Anyone want to fill in the gaps for me, or am I making a fool of myself?
You kill things, and there are sword clashes, and you push buttons.
Sick. Cue the duck boats, baby. Let's go.
All right. I think I have two picks, so I will keep it moving. I'll draft Deltarune Chapter 5.
Unfortunately, you cannot do that due to rules that we
implemented. Oh, I can't? Okay.
Oh, that was the one rule that we didn't tell you, Gay, is that since I drafted Deltarune last year, technically, we are not doing any future episodes. That's done and dusted.
Okay. I'll draft Fields of Mystria.
Oh, yeah, that should be good.
Yeah. I'm personally not a fan of like comfort slop like this, but you know, I draft not based on personal enjoyment. So, and then I will with my next pick. So I am allowed to do this, correct? I'm allowed to draft Witcher 4 here.
Yo, yes, you sir. Can. So go I'll for
draft
it.
Witcher 4.
All right.
The rush for quarterbacks continues or begins.
I'll just hoard it.
All right, I'm back. Right, that was quick. Let's see here. I'm going to go with, I want to make sure I get this name right, and I lost it here. It is The Adventures of Elliot, : The Millennium Tales, otherwise known as TAOETMT, as we all know. We're always calling it that. Everyone knows that's what we call it. Little Square Enix, a little Octopath Traveler vibes, but I don't think it's turn-based, right? I think it's a little
It's basically like a Zelda game. Like it's structured like a Zelda game.
Looks very cool. We know that Octopath art style is pretty fun. I've always been interested. I like that vibe. A little HD, 2D, whatever they call it. Looks cool. Looks like a good mix of different styles. I feel like I've seen everything from, the Zeldas to your Chrono Trigger, Secret of Mana, all these like comparisons. So I feel like it'll be a hit and worth investing in. Coming to Switch 2, so I'll get my hands on that one. And it's one I'm actually excited to definitely play this year. So let's go with TAOETMT.
Yeah, a lot of dancing from Dave. You know, I know you like that demo. I like that demo too. This game, Adventures of Elliot, looks pretty cool. I'm going with an indie that I really hope comes out this year, because not just because for my fantasy team, but I think it's going to be good. It's not Mixtape Gear. I do want to play that game, but it burned me last year. Vampire Crawlers. Ooh. By the guy that did Vampire Survivors, which is one of the most creative indies I'd played in years when it came out. Vampire Crawlers turns into like a roguelike deck builder, but also like old RPG, like hallway crawler game. So I don't know. I think that game's going to be good. I'm excited about it.
Ah, darn. I thought I had to preempt with the mixtape, but alas.
That was a good guess. Yeah. I'll be honest with you. I totally forgot about that game.
I just went, you drafted this last year. It's still technically coming out. You could take it now.
I could.
I would take it.
I could do a lot of things.
I would take it now, but when I was creating my tiers, I left myself a note, and as it turns out, this note can still be true, which was tier 3, if it's there, take Stranger of Heaven with pick 5. So I'm going to take Stranger of Heaven. I'm going to take my 2027 game and kind of go from there.
What is that game?
Stranger of Heaven. It is the new game from RGG Studios.
I didn't include that.
Yes, formerly Project Century, now okay. Stranger of Heaven.
I see. Okay, gotcha. Good deck. Amanda.
Yeah, I was a little quiet because I was looking at my list trying to decide how weird I want to get with it. I'm going to pick, I am now at my weird little indie game section that I'm personally curious about. I'm going to pick a game called Norse Oath of Blood, which releases on February 3rd. It's from a studio in Norway called Arctic Hazard, but the idea is that you're doing Viking stuff, or rather Vikings have like ravaged the town, the settlement you have to build. What's and also fight stuff again? Looks like they cut. It's called Norse Oath of Blood. I saw it on like some list that I don't know, thought it looked interesting, so yeah, it's just getting a little weird with it.
Love it. All right, cool. None of my games have been taken, but that's probably because I'm gonna lean in and do some degenerate tactics here. With my first pick, I'm gonna take, since it's slid, I don't necessarily know if it's coming out this year. I don't really care at this point to play it for various reasons, but I'm gonna go with Fable from Playground. I mean, it's Playground Games, you gotta take it. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of what Microsoft's doing. I don't plan to support it on launch. Obligatory fuck Microsoft, but I'm gonna, if it can help me win, I'm gonna take it. So that's the first one. And then number two is gonna be a real swing, because this is a sit and hold, baby. This is a sit and hold. I'm gonna draft Intergalactic, the Heretic Prophet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That game is not coming out anytime soon. I'd be shocked if it came out in 2027, but on the off chance we get a 2027 date and it has a shot, I want to be positioned to have been the first.
David Dress, Rasheed Rice, and Tyreek Hill back to back.
Yeah. These are some tough.
Swoop that for me, man. I was going to do that same thing.
Tough ones. Yeah. I knew if I didn't get it now, Sam was going to swoop out on at least one. So that was the play.
All right. Back to me. I don't know. I should trust my tier list. That's why I made it. But I was starting to second guess and just go like, wow, let's go all over. Everybody's picking stuff that isn't coming out for years. Why not? Let's just skip all the tiers. But no, I will stick to the tiers. I am going to pick, this is the game that I was debating picking from before. I'm going to pick Reanimal, which is a horror game. And it's one that I was scared of. It's like a co-op. You play like a brother and a sister, and it's super spooky. It's made by the people who made, I think, Little Big Planet and other things like that. I bet it'll scare the shit out of me, but I would try it. If it scores well, I'll be a big brave girl and I'll actually play it. If it doesn't, then it has failed me for the last time. Yeah. So,
Little Nightmares 1 and 2. Little Big Planet, I think actually way back in the day, but Little Nightmares 1 and 2. And then Little Nightmares 3 actually got handed off to Supermassive.
This will be Little Big Nightmares for me if I play it. But, or if it's bad. Either way, I will suffer. Either it'll score badly or it'll be good and I'll have to play it as a promise to myself.
Don't do that to yourself. Don't. All right. I'm between three. I am gonna take Bixtape from Beethoven and Dinosaur at this pick. Original developers of the Artful Escape? Is that the title of that game? Anyway, Mixtape looks really cool. The skateboarding Summer of Love game. I'm very excited to see how that comes together.
All right. We're in a weird place now where like all of the games that are like confirmed to come out in the next few months, like no one feels that good about any of them. Like, but I actually am going to pick one. That's,
you're not jonesing for Lego Batman.
I actually am jonesing for Lego Batman.
I had a feeling you would grab it.
That was the one that I was between.
Yeah.
That's on. If anybody was going to pick something that's left on this list, and if it was going to be any,
I'm glad you got it, Sam. Because I'd be sad if no one grabbed it.
No, but here's the thing: like those trailers, that it's basically just going to be an Arkham game. Yeah. Like mechanically, vibes wise, it's going to be an Arkham game, just your Legos instead. And I think there is going to be a large number, not just of players, but of critics who miss those games, and are going to be really happy that there's something like that here. So, because it's not going to be like the old Lego Star Wars, Lego Batman games, where it's just kind of like, you hit another Lego thing and it just turns into pieces. Like, this seems like it's basically a Batman game. I think that's, I hope it's good. I want another Arkham game. So, yeah, here we go.
All right. I'm gonna go with let's see, I'm just double checking if we got a release date, but I don't think so. I think this is just a TBD. We're gonna go with Super Meat Boy 3D. The first one, I think it's like 15 years ago, had a pretty good score, renowned for its difficulty, kind of 2D platformer. Now we're going 3D. That's a lot of D's. And I think it's going to be, hopefully, return to form. It's been a long time. Totally new dimension, but I feel like the ceiling is there. We just got to land the plane here. And I do love a platformer. I don't know that I feel like people compare it to Celeste in a way. Other games that are just too hard. We'll see. I'll give it a shot, though. I look forward to it. So Super Meat Boy 3D. Put it on the board. Some gentle nods.
That's all the gentle nods. That's what
I love it. I love it.
I think I am up. I am my last two picks of the draft. So I will draft Pony Island 2 Panda Circus from Daniel Mullins Games, creator of Inscription and Pony Island, the first one. I have no thoughts.
I got really excited. I thought it was genuinely a game.
I thought when you were talking about the horror.
Amanda, you should play the first one. Don't, no, you don't say anything. No, Amanda, no, you should play the first Pony Island.
Don't do that.
No, you should. You should.
No, if it's Inscription scared me so much. So there's no fucking way I'm playing Pony Island 1.
And then I think I will gamble a little bit and I'll draft Crimson Desert from Pearl Abyss. This is by the company that made Black Desert Online. My familiarity with that game is that my college roommate played a lot of this game and she despised it. She said it was one of the worst games she's ever played. But she said that about every game she played more than 400 hours of. And so I think it will maybe be good, or maybe it will be horrible and not to Western reviewers' taste. Who knows? We'll find out.
I'm back up. I'm between two here. And I didn't know that these would come back to me. Let's see. I got to think about it. If you can just give me like 10 minutes and then no. I'm gonna go with Witchbrook.
Nice. Great choice.
I think it's coming out at some point. It's described as kind of a witchy school, Stardew Valley, go to class, do some spells, all kinds of things. Should be a hit. I feel like I just nailed it. Did I nail it? I feel like I nailed it. I mean, free money, it looks like. Is that 7 on the board? And it's just like not a miss in sight. So pretty much guaranteed victory. I'm feeling really confident. Thank you, everybody, for playing.
Man, once again, you just just swept it up. I wanted that one. I wanted Witchbrook. I kept whatever. No, you did it. You beat me. You beat me to it.
Perfect.
Again.
Let's just call it now.
I'm also filibustering because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to pick next. I'm going to pick a Nintendo game.
Surprise, surprise.
And that game is, well, it's a game in a series I've never actually played. I'm going to pick Rhythm Heaven Groove.
I thought it was going to be Yoshi. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, shocking. Not the Nintendo game. I thought you were going to pick Mario Tennis Fever. I didn't think
what are the odds like a Mario Tennis game gets over like an 85? You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's nothing, but I just assume.
Yeah, so one of the fun things about this year in Nintendo is they basically right now have no confirmed games coming out this year that are like the big things that everyone wants, except maybe Fire Emblem and maybe Splatoon Raiders, which comes out, but I don't know if that's coming out this year. So they got all the mid-tier games that like the sickos really like. So and Rhythm Heaven is one of those. So that'll be a Switch 1 game too. So we'll see how that plays with audiences. But I know that's like a beloved like DS 3DS series for a lot of people. I've never played those games. I'm sure I'd like them, but I haven't played them. So that's it. Wrap it up.
So I have one of my tier one games left, but I'm not going to pick it because I'm way more interested in rooting to make sure that this game is good. So for my last pick, I am going to take Romeo is a Dead Man from Grasshopper Interactive. I love what Suda puts out. I love seeing what Suda wants me to see. So I'm hoping Romeo is a Dead Man is more Shadows of the Damned and less Lollipop Chainsaw, but we will see.
Notably critically acclaimed developer Grasshopper Interactive.
It's critically acclaimed by me and I have a bench for a reason. If I just gotta leave it on the bench where it's like 83 it's gonna get, that's fine.
I am once again at the top and disoriented by the fact that it has come around to me. There's a lot of games I'm thinking about. There's a lot of games I'm interested in versus the ones that I think could score critically well. I also haven't really chosen any like bench type games. I've pretty much chosen only for this year. And I might continue with that. I'm going to pick a game that, well, let me put it to the crowd first. We haven't really had this problem before. But I got a review code that was so early. Like I have a review of a game that I know is coming out that I think is an excellent game. Is that too insider baseball to pick it, knowing that
I feel like it's insider trading?
Yeah,
Our reviews, well, we'll see what happens. That review is probably not going to be counted on Metacritic, so you can't.
No, it's, well, it's not, but it's like, but I know.
Well, so but you can't actually affect the score.
I can't affect
the
score.
You know, like a ton of my games are in early access. I can play them. I don't think this is an issue at all.
It's actually a good point.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Like this does not access. This does not matter as long as your review is not going to be on Metacritic. It does not matter to me. I think this is,
that's a good point. Yeah.
I mean, we actually had this kind of issue last year where I didn't pick Citizen Sleeper 2, but I was reviewing it and I was like overthinking about it. And then Gary was like, oh, it must be bad because Amanda didn't pick it. And I was like, I played it too hard. Okay, great. Then that's a good point. Then I will pick it. I mean, but I just thought it was so good. It is, Inkle has a new game coming out called TR49. It is super weird, amazing puzzle game. I've really enjoyed it so far. And yeah, it's, don't want to say too much more because it's just like a cool, weird game that'll be out by the end of January, I think. And it's nice to put my not literal money behind it, my money where my mouth is, which is the pick of my fantasy gaming team. But I had a lot of other games on my list that I was thinking about, but I'm just very fond of it. So if it means I get to think about it for a little bit more, then great. So that's my team. I think David's got our last pick.
Yeah, this is tough because I think we've done a very good job of drafting hits like AAA, like soon to hit indie games that could be, you know, hidden gems and, you know, some far out titles as well. But I am torn between two titles that are both coming in Q1. So there's time for me to rebound. If it's a bad score, might place me in a, you know, a good position for a waiver wire mid-year. I've played one. I really believe in it. I think it's going to be something really special. I just am not, you know, I'm not quite sure if critics will feel exactly as bullish as I am. And then another one, I just believe so much in the developer. I think I'll go with, I'll throw it out. I'll go with the one I've played. I'm going to choose Demon Tides, which is coming out in February from Febraz. Mm-hmm. They are, Demon's Turf was the first game. Reviewed well enough. They're also doing Bubsy 4D, which is interesting. I don't know how that's taken away from the development process, but I played this as part of a Steam Next Fest last year. It was terrific. I loved it. So if nothing else for the fact that I just believe in this game, I'm gonna draft that. My other pick, just for those curious, was Cairn. That was the one I was considering, Cairn from the Game Bakers.
Did you pick that a couple years ago and it got delayed?
Maybe. Before? Yeah, actually, I think so.
Yeah, or maybe you just covered it for like any of these games that we were excited about.
I have not tried the demo, so I feel like it'd be malpractice.
I have tried the demo.
Yep.
It felt pretty janky.
Okay. So
yeah.
That's good. That makes me feel like I did my due diligence by not going with my heart there. I have played Demon Tides. It's fantastic. And I hope that it pans out well.
Yeah, I played that demo too. They put that demo on Steam for Demon Tides a few months back. And it's like, it's one of those things where, like, I don't know what the actual final product is going to be, but if they can build the entire game the way they built that that demo, it will. I think it'll at least review pretty well.
I think at the very least it'll garner like a lot of interest from people who love like really crunchy is the wrong word, but platformers with a lot that require that have like a high ceiling. And
there's definitely going to be like a big Twitch like
speedrunning community, and then you add on like a Wind Waker.
Yeah, it has like a slight. Like, I know they hate this word, but like, not like Friendsoft is not quite the word, but like, you know, like Bennett Foddy is kind of like this, where it's like there's internal rules to it, but like the rules are kind of messed up. And so like, it's very like, yeah, I can see that happening for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is a handsome looking list, y'all. We did a good job. Any reflections on how the draft went before we kind of transition to our outro?
I think it's really, sorry, I just want to say, I think it's really cool that we all picked a bunch of games that we're not certain are coming out this year at all. And like,
speak for yourself, man. Most of mine have release dates.
It was like last year, I was like, I most years I kind of make sure I pick a handful of games that I know are coming out because I don't want to get a bunch of zeros. But like, look, man, I did that and I didn't win. So
I mean,
I'll give it up for the Dust Bloods and for Vampire Crawlers and games like that. Like, why not take a shot?
In fairness, Sam, also this year, I just feel like it's a little hazier on what's dropping. Like, we have a good idea of what's like soon. Like, I think the Yoshi game that no one drafted, that'll probably come out earlier than like Intergalactic.
I wouldn't be shocked if that was like a shadow drop at like a Nintendo Direct. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, it's probably coming out before the Fire Emblem, but the Fire Emblem's probably the higher ceiling pick, so I totally get it, Zach, you know?
Well, I didn't look into dates at all. Like, not for a single one of my games. So
this year in particular, there are also just a lot of things that have 2026, but no date yet because of Grand Theft Auto. Yeah. Because Grand Theft Auto, people didn't know where it was going to land. There was a lot more just like, we're going to put it out in the calendar year 2026. We'll see what happens. And now that GTA has slipped to the fall, like the fall right now, you know, we'll have to see where some of these things land out. Like, you know, I've actually looking at my, you know, the things that I drafted, I'm pretty confident that 6 of my 7 are going to come out this year. When? No idea for most of them. But, you know, with the exception of Stranger Than Heaven, which is already a 2027 game, like, yeah, Romeo's a Dead Man is probably going to come out this year. Like, Mixtape is probably going to come out this year. When, where, why, couldn't tell you. So it's going to make waivers really interesting. It's going to make, you know, reevaluating really interesting.
Yeah, Gary, I got to tell you, when I look at your team, I think it sucks. Oh, Gary, your team sucks.
Well, Zach, at least my 1/90 game is actually going to come out this year instead of March of 2027. I will see you all on the streets of Los Santos in 2027.
Got my ass, damn it. All right.
Yeah, better be careful, Zach, or you're going to get some mind's eye stones. Oh, 37. A score I didn't even know was possible.
Yeah, is that like still on my team somehow? Do I just have to carry
it? No, it's don't worry. I find the draft really fun each year, like the first draft, because every year at the beginning of the year, things are hazy. And I agree totally, Gary, that the release window, I think especially people have seen that following last fall with Hades 2 and Hollow Knight Silksong coming out around the fall, like pretty much any other game was sort of like pushed to the side for 2 months. And so it is, the beginning of the year is always really interesting because we can all have a little bit more room to pick weird stuff. Like, I think everybody really, I didn't feel like we were fighting as much over picks besides between maybe Sam and Zach at the new rivalry. But yeah, great draft. Great to see some good stuff. I'm surprised no one picked The Prince of Persia, Sands of Time remake? I think it's a remake.
Well, it's been pushed back.
That's not a ball-knowing take.
It's been pushed back.
Okay,
so
then great.
Times.
See, I don't know anything about that. Now I know.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, like, what were games people had on their, like, you know, they were thinking about that they ended up not taking? Or, like, things you're just surprised fell through the cracks.
Go ahead, Gary. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I'll just like very loosely say, like, I was like kind of doing a lot of like research into like games that are already in early access that are like,
that's how I got Baldur's Gate
3. So I was contemplating like Windblown from Motion Twin, which is by the Dead Cells people, like Witchfire, Titan Quest 2, but then there's also bigger games that ended up not being taken, like Tomb Raider, the 2026 one, not the 2027 one.
I'm surprised you didn't take a Tomb Raider.
Yeah. I don't know. That whole studio like is like laying off people like every 2 months. So we'll see how that goes. Yep. Like Yoshi ended up not being taken. Halo Campaign Evolved ended up not being taken. High Guard. I thought about trolling you by dissuading you from High Guard immediately. Answer, but I didn't. I ended up not doing that.
Thank you. I probably lost my mind.
Yeah. I think for me, like the biggest one that none of us really touched was actually Blood of the Dawnwalker. coming out of
the, I had that on my list,
the
yeah.
new head, the former head of CD Projekt Red. That was what I was debating between before I ended up taking Romeo as a Dead Man. You know, do I think the Blood of the Dawn Walker is probably going to be a better game? Yes. But I want to root for Romeo as a Dead Man. So here we are.
Yeah, Blood of the Dawn Walker definitely was probably like, that's a weird thing to say, but it was definitely one of those games that is going to have a lot of attention on it when it comes out. Whether or not that's good or bad is hard to say. The only game I really thought about drafting where I was like, it's probably not a good idea, but you never know, is Pokemon Pocopia.
I thought about it briefly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, is that game going to be like good? I don't know. But like, there's definitely a kind of person who will, there's definitely going to be an audience for that game that will play the hell out of it. And Pokemon, the funny thing about Pokemon as a series now is the spinoffs get more polished than the mainline games now. So like, because they're not always developed by Game Freak, like new Pokemon Snap had great graphics. It was a little slow sometimes, but the visually was really good. And that was made by Bandai Namco. That wasn't a Game Freak game. I don't know who's doing Pokopia. I don't think it's Game Freak, but like that game, it's going to sell well. It's going to have a great audience. Is it going to get like an 88 on Metacritic? I don't know, but like there's a non-zero chance that that could happen.
That's how I felt about another game that I was thinking about. Was Ace Combat 8 Wings of Thieve, I don't know. It looks like a game that would really be beloved, like played a lot by a lot of people. It's also a Bandai Namco game. And there's sort of this push that it'll kind of try to capitalize on the, what are the movies with Tom Cruise? He's in the sky.
Top Gun.
Yeah, it's gonna like try for a Top Gun energy. But I was like, it was on my list, but I didn't go for it.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting that the game we were talking about with the former CD Projekt Red guys, Blood of Dawn Walker, is like actually being published by Bandai Namco. Like, I feel like a lot of the time you see like, from the developers of Bioshock Infinite, and it's like not published by like a big name publisher. This definitely has like a lot more backing, so I am kind of intrigued about that. But that's all I had to say about
I'll add just one other thing. Double Click plus one on Ace Combat 8, that was the one that I think if I were to, you know, pick one more big AAA, I would have gone there. I was a little surprised that no bites around like a fighting game between, I did end up striking. I know I had Blaze Blue Entropy Effect X. I think that's more of like an enhancement. So I killed that from our list anyway, but
I got Marvel Tokon, exactly. Man.
Oh, you did get Tokon. Okay. That's fair. And not exactly, but I think it skirt the line just enough, yeah. Gary, that I was like, okay, you could debate either way. Invincible Versus is one that had caught my eye. And then also like the Avatar fighting game, neither of which have like the biggest budgets or even, you know, but they have.
We're also not talking about 2XKO, which is.
Is that releasing like, out of early access? Is that.
That game, yeah, that's pretty soon, actually. Yeah.
Pretty soon, actually.
That could well be a pretty. That could have been a big miss on all of our parts.
I just think that there's sort of a cap on the score fighting games tend to get these days. So it's pretty difficult.
Ask Street Fighter 6, man.
Street Fighter 6, well, that, like the legacy franchise, it's the legacy franchise that usually get good reviews. Yeah. That like Tekken, Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat. If a new Soul Calibur came out, it would probably do pretty well. But like games that are totally different or trying a new angle or aren't just doing standard 1v1 fighting, those I think Kay's right about that. Like,
yeah.
You wouldn't expect 2XKO is not going to get like a 92.
I will say though, as the resident FGC kind of person with my ear to the ground of that community, the fighting game that did get taken is not the one with the biggest buzz in the community right now. It is actually that Avatar fighting game is the one that people think plays the best and is the most fun.
Oh.
Wow.
Fascinating.
One game that it probably would have been debate too, so I'm glad no one took it, but the inevitable Persona 4 remake that has been announced, so, but we didn't get a title.
A revival.
Yeah, I guess we do have a title. I'm surprised you didn't take that.
So we might know more about that on the 8th. So, you know, this could have been a, damn, like if only we had recorded a couple days later, you know, something like that. I have complicated feelings on Persona 4R that we'll talk about off microphone.
Sounds good. And if Persona 6 gets announced there, then, you know, to those listening, why we didn't talk about it. That's why.
Could be metaphor refantuzio.
Or no, they'll most likely do that enhanced version. And I'll be
metaphor refantuzio refantasized.
Yeah.
Reelected, thank you.
Reelected, that's a good one. Okay. I hate that so much.
Before we go, can we do a quick recap? How does the waiver wire work?
Okay, so yes, and that's good for our
list. Like waiver orders plus waiver wire.
So waiver wire we tend to do mid-season, and it sometime during the summer, usually after like Summer Games Fest. If there's something, last year we made an exception. We did two due to the launch of the Switch 2. We'll probably stick to one this year is my thinking. If there's consensus and we feel like, oh, there's some big event that happened late summer that justifies a second waiver wire, we'll do it. And order for the waiver wire is, again, inverse standing. So if someone, that's why there's some strategy to drafting games early. So let's say you're doing poorly early in the year, you have an opportunity to draft earlier and drop one of those games.
If none of my games is released before the waiver wire, is my score zero and do I thus lock in the first overall pick?
No, so there's also it's the opposite.
No, we count them as nothing. Yeah.
That happened to me and I was felt pretty good. And I was drawing some ire from the group, so
because bullshit. That's why
I drafted last. Unfortunately, Kay, you'll have an NA, which makes you last in the waiver wire. But you'll make it work.
Can I ask one question? Yeah. I know, like you're trying to wrap it up. Sorry, but I do want to do one question for not about the structure, just a fun thing for everybody. Which games that you drafted are you most excited to actually play?
Great question. That's
a great question.
I don't think Wolverine is actually the game I'm most excited to play of the ones I've drafted. I'm most interested probably in the Duskbloods just because I want to know what it is. But the one I know I'm probably going to enjoy is Vampire Crawlers. That game I think is going to be a lot of fun just because it's like Vampire Survivors is fun. That style of game is usually pretty solid for me. So that's my pick.
Control Resident.
Yeah, that's a good pick. For me in the short term, Demon Tides, because I have very little interest in Resident Evil or Slay the Spire. Some of my top picks I don't really care about. In the distant future, Intergalactic. I don't need to see anything about that game. Naughty Dog, I'll play it, but Demon Tides.
I have tried to play the Hitman games before and I both really liked them and was incredibly bad at them and I would get really anxious and I would just get like really neurotic, and so I'm hoping that if I play Devil 007 I'll be less neurotic and anxious about it, so I'll just be like embracing the James Bond energy and it will inspire me.
I don't really intend to play any of these games. I didn't really draft like based on my personal taste. I guess I might play Crimson Desert because it lets me play as a woman and it involves pushing buttons and killing things. So maybe Crimson Desert. We'll see. I do know that the character creator is very in-depth because it's based off of Black Desert. So I guess if I'm going to pick one, it will be Crimson Desert because, you know, Witcher 4 is not going to come out. So I'm not playing that.
So I have Grand Theft Auto 6, and that's probably the game that everybody in the world is most excited to play. Never played a GTA game, not going to play this one, don't have a PlayStation 5, not even probably ever going to play any of these games. So I'm going to go with Adventures of Elliot. That looks really cool to me. It looks like it's right up my alley, and like we were talking about, kind of Zelda-inspired, cool art style. I think I'm going to like that one a lot.
I love it. Well, thanks for participating, y'all. Great to have you as well, Kay. And I'm sure we're going to have some interesting shakeups in the weeks and months to come. So for those listening, you better stay tuned because we'll be doing more, I'm sure, on the podcast, but certainly more written posts and updates on the site. But without further ado, we're going to transition very quickly to our outro, and we'll have one more icebreaker-ish before we let you all go. Okay, so to wrap us up, as always, what are you playing? I've expanded this question. What are you playing / watching / reading that you're enjoying? Have at it.
Yeah. I'm going to talk about something I'm reading, actually. I've decided to read a classic. I'm reading Wuthering Heights. It's not a book I've ever read before. I keep seeing the trailer for this new movie. And after seeing the trailer, my wife, Sarah, who's an avid reader, turns to me and says, people are going to be very disappointed about what this movie is going to be. Cause this makes it, cause she's like, this movie makes it seem like it's like this really like dramatic, sexy, romantic movie. And after reading about the first 50 pages, I'm like, oh, this is not, it's going to take some weird turns, man. You think this is going to be a fun Valentine's Day treat. It is not going to be that.
Tis not.
and I'm not going to give away too much, but after, again, reading the first 50 pages, I am appalled that Jacob Elordi was picked for that role as Heathcliff. I will say no more of that, but yeah, I like it so far. Good book.
I've recently been replaying Tomb Raider because of the whole new announcements thing. And because I am contemplating writing something about it, probably something short and not very in-depth. So, you know, as it goes. So I've been replaying Tomb Raider, and it's pretty interesting. I do like how scared she is at the beginning, and then how quickly her switch flips.
To murder. Probably my favorite part of that character.
Because my months-long campaign to get Amanda to finally play Yakuza 0 has taken off, I have also started replaying Yakuza 0 because wanted to be doing it again. That game is still great. And I'm also reading right now. I am finally reading Songs of Achilles, which is really interesting so far. I'm sure I'll have thoughts as I get deeper in, but it's really interesting so far. Good. And not what it's I expected.
I am playing Star Wars Outlaws on the Switch 2. Nice port. Just actually started it last night. One of those gaming sessions. I was feeling good at like 10 o'clock. Everyone's in bed and I stayed up pretty late. Love that. It's the best kind of vibe. Feel like I'm going to continue with that. And as far as reading, we're spending a lot of time reading Potty Time with Elmo here in this house. if you haven't checked it out, it's one of those books with like the buttons that make noise, you know, so it's like Elmo has to use the potty and then you press the button. It's like flush. So it's just a lot of that, which is pretty sweet. Would highly recommend anyone that needs a little bit of potty time. Enjoy that one.
I'm playing Yakuza 0, which was a gift from Gary and Clint. It was so nice of them. I'm really enjoying it. I've never really played like a beat 'em up game like that. And it's got so much violence and also so much heart. I'm really enjoying it. Delightful so far. I just finished watching Resident Alien, which is a great show. It was originally on Sci-Fi, but you can catch the first three seasons on Netflix and the last season on Peacock. Just really delightful, like a great fish out of water story of an alien who's played by Alan Tudyk, who has to be like the small town doctor and pretend that he's a human. And it's just really funny and also has a lot of heart. So been enjoying that.
Nice. As for me, I'm also playing Yakuza 0, taking the occasion to finally get back into it. So I'm glad you're enjoying it, Amanda. Watching my dear, beautiful, beloved Patriots sweep the competition. About to watch that in a bit. Excited.
Boo.
Boo. And then reading. I am also on the reading train. I am reading Project Hail Mary in advance of the movie coming out later this year.
Look at us reading books before
look
the movie.
At us. Yeah. So I have Achilles on my list as well. No, I don't want to go into a movie without reading it first, you know? And it's really, really good. I read like 120 pages last night until I got like eye strain and had to put it down. But it's terrific. It lives up to the hype. It's fantastic. And I'm just excited to get back into reading. I've been checking my like Goodreads reading challenges for the past few years and it is abysmal. So this will finally be the year where things change and I become an adult.
What's your goal?
I usually do like whatever the end of the year is, so this is going to be laughable, but like 26 books. I decided to half that, so 13.
One a month
because I'm lucky if I do five. Do you know what I mean? So I'm gonna actually and I have my list. It's all on the bookshelf here. Song of Achilles is on there, Lord of the Rings is on there, a bunch of stuff I haven't read. So
maybe if you stop going back into playing Metaphor ReFantasio, you would have more time.
See, I don't finish games, and I don't finish books, and I don't finish anything. I am the person who starts things and never finishes anything.
So you're telling me you want to finish a bunch of books this year, so you're reading several Tolkien books.
Yeah.
That are not quick reads.
I feel like they'll be kind
the
of
movies reasonable. Are great. I love the movies. I love the books.
Lord of the Rings is quite like readable.
This is just reminding me that we should create a book club or a books channel in Discord so we can share these. And maybe
books.
Maybe we'll get into back when I started the site, 2017, I remember I wrote a book review of The Gunslinger.
You did.
And I never read the rest of the series. So that's also on my list. Is the, hey, 9 years later.
Fingers crossed. This is how I get everyone to be like me and read all of your books. So please.
Is that the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've also read the books.
As well. Oh my
God. Yeah, I know it all. Yeah, you were talking. They're good books, yeah, man. Well, some of them.
The short stories are still my favorite, but
I've read the short stories.
Yeah, the first book I read is the short best ones, but the later ones are they have their moments. It's a good solid fantasy read.
Yeah, I think I read them very early on, and so like I think I read like a really bad translations of books 3 and 4. Like, because this was like after I played the first game, and so I think I think it got retranslated at some point. So I really need to go back and read some of the earlier ones. But yeah, the first two Witcher books slap for sure.
Well, clearly we have a lot of gaming to do in the new year, and we have a lot of reading to do. We have our work cut out for us, but as always, we're excited to do it and bring it to all of our listeners and readers. So thank you for listening. Thank you to our panelists for participating. This was a really fun episode, really fun draft. Amanda, hoping that this is not too much of a lift to edit, but we'll see. We'll see. And the listeners on the end of things will get to judge for themselves. I'm sure it'll be fantastic. So with that, thank you, everyone. Stay tuned for more episodes in the new year. Happy New Year. And-